true story of Roy and Silo only reinforces what scientists have observed since the time of Aristotle.
My name is Sebastian Hernandez, and I'm a first-generation brown art maker birthed in the city of Los Angeles.
Travel with me and meet some LGBT artists under 25. Maybe I'll talk to you.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. I'm Lucia Chappell. New wave of torture and humiliation targets gays in Chechnya. Proud dance performance steps over social stereotypes. And young queer singer-songwriters serenade the world. Those stories and more this week because you've tuned in to This Way Out.
I'm Michael Lebeau.
And I'm Wenzel Jones.
With News Wrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBTQ communities around the world for the week ending May 11th, 2019. Human Rights Watch reported this week that in the mostly Muslim Russian region of Chechnya, gay men are still being illegally detained, humiliated, tortured, and in some cases outed to their family members. The Global Rights Group says that they spoke with four men who had been arrested in the Chechen capital city of Grozny between December 2018 and February 2019 and held for from 3 to 20 days. They reported being boot-kicked by police and beaten with sticks and hollow pipes. Three of the four said they'd been tortured with electric shocks to get them to reveal other gay men in their social circles. Police confiscated the cell phones of each detainee to further that purpose. One man said that policemen had raped him with a stick. Another also told Human Rights Watch that the police outed him to his family when he was finally released, and that can have deadly consequences in a conservative Muslim society where an honor killing might be in store for a relative who is considered to have shamed the family. In some cases, police demand large sums of money as a ransom for a relative's release.
The purge of LGBTQ people in Chechnya was first reported 2 years ago. Despite accounts of a continuing crackdown, both the Chechen and Russian governments claim to have investigated the charges and found them baseless. At least 40 people were reportedly rounded up earlier this year in Grozny, where two detainees died while being tortured. The Russian LGBT network now says that at least 25 Chechen men perceived to be gay were detained between December of last year and April of this year. A spokesman for Chechen dictator Ramzan Kadyrov described the reports of a renewed crackdown earlier this year as an absolute lie. Vladimir Putin has consistently insisted that a thorough investigation by Russian authorities found the reported detentions to be fabrications. A statement by Human Rights Watch charged that there wasn't anything remotely resembling an effective investigation into the anti-gay purge of 2017, and impunity for those actions has sanctioned a new wave of torture and humiliation in Chechnya. The statement called on Russia's international partners to continue to press Putin to put an end to the purge. It named the European Union and its member states, Canada and the United States, as countries with a weight to pressure Putin to truly investigate the accounts of torture and to hold those responsible accountable.
In an attempt to stem worldwide criticism for introducing harsh Islamic law in Brunei, Sultan Hassanal Bolkiah claimed in a televised speech on May 5th that he would extend a moratorium on all capital punishment. The leader of the small Southeast Asian country also promised to ratify the United Nations Convention Against Torture. The move follows the announcement in early April that the Sultan had decided to fully impose Sharia and the subsequent global boycott of all things Brunei, led by George Clooney, Elton John, Ellen DeGeneres, and other high-profile celebrities. Since they publicized the planned criminal punishments like amputation and death by stoning for consensual adult gay sex, the Sultan's luxury hotel properties around the world and the Sultan-owned Brunei Airlines have taken a hit. A number of large multinationals, including Deutsche Bank, JP Morgan Chase, Citibank, and Richard Branson's Virgin Group of companies, are refusing to do business with Brunei, as are some major travel companies and the advertising arm of London's transport network.
A gay man from Brunei who's seeking asylum in Canada told Gay Star News that the Sultan's announced moratorium changes nothing. He said it was not a decree and could easily be reversed by the Sultan or his successor. "I do not think he has had a change of heart," the refugee said. "The Sultan may have less money than we think. He's really feeling the boycott." Several human rights groups remain skeptical of the Sultan's motives and are urging that the boycott continue. A local Brunei rights group warned in a statement that the Sultan's announcement changes very little. The fact that these laws are not being repealed remains a concern. Also pointing out that the law is still in place, George Clooney is one of a number of boycotters who are calling on others to keep the pressure on the Sultan. He said in a May 7th statement that the backlash to the laws also sends a very crucial message to other Muslim-majority countries like Indonesia and Malaysia that there is a cost for enacting similar laws.
Amnesty International is reporting that some 25 students were arrested on May 10th in Turkey for attempting to hold a pride march at Middle East Technical University in Ankara. Police used pepper spray, plastic bullets, and tear gas to disperse the crowd. The Global Human Rights Group said in a statement that reports of excessive use of force by the police must be urgently investigated. Even though a Turkish court lifted bans on pride marches in the country in late April, the administrators at the university refused to issue a permit for the student-led demonstration. The participants knew they were violating the school ban. An Amnesty International statement noted that, "For the last 8 years, students at this university have marched through their campus to celebrate pride and demand equality and dignity for LGBTI people. The university should be supporting and protecting such marches and challenging homophobia and transphobia." Students held their traditional march last year despite a similar ban, but the university took no action in the face of strong protests against the ban. The Amnesty International statement condemned the violent actions of the police this year and called for the immediate and unconditional release of all the detainees.
Conservative Christian forces are stepping up their pressure on the Cuban government to slow advances being made on LGBTQ rights. The government backed down last year after suggestions of adding marriage equality to the new constitution prompted loud protest from religious groups. Now a colorful and festive 12-year tradition has ended. The government canceled the annual Conga Against Homophobia, scheduled for May 6 in Havana, citing new tensions in the international and regional context. Leading Cuban playwright and activist Jorge Espinosa Mendoza joined many others to wonder what the cryptic statement actually meant. Mendoza said the cancellation was a new step backward. The enemies of a more diverse and progressive Cuba will be happier now. Reuters reported that some people believe that the event was banned because the government didn't want to risk a public forum for criticism amid rising tensions with the Trump administration. The report said that the government deferred the issue of marriage equality to a pending update of the Family Code. That update is to be decided on by referendum in the next 2 years. One of the Conga organizers, who spoke on the condition of anonymity, told El Nuevo Herald that the true motive for the cancellation was to avoid confrontations with Christian groups.
Queer families made news in two countries this week. Mexico's Supreme Court of Justice of the Nation ruled for a married lesbian couple's right to both be registered on their son's birth certificate. According to a May 8th online report by Milenio, authorities had told the couple that only the biological mother could register the baby as her son and that the other woman could do so only through adoption. The court said that both women should be recognized as mothers of the child. It was the first such ruling in Mexico.
That's not how it worked out in Italy. The highest appeals court there ruled on May 8th that a gay couple could not register as the co-parents of their two children. The couple's children were born in Canada through a surrogate, and both men are named as the fathers on the Canadian birth certificate. Back home, the court ruled that only the biological father can be registered in Italy as a legal parent, and that the other man will have to apply to adopt them. Surrogacy is illegal in Italy, and one of the gay couple's lawyers said that the silver lining in the setback is that the ruling was more concerned with surrogacy than the sexual orientation of the parents. Attorney Alexander Schuster also told reporters that the family had a high probability of success if they take their case to the European Court of Human Rights.
And finally, operators of the Dingle Ocean World Aquarium in Kerry, Ireland, have announced a rarity. 8 of the 14 Gentoo penguins they care for have same-gender mates. There are 2 lesbian couples and 2 male couples. Penguins of the same gender nesting and even raising chicks is nothing new. The popular and much-attacked children's book, And Tango Makes 3, tells the true story of male penguins Roy and Silo. That New York Central Park Zoo couple mated and raised an unwanted egg into a healthy chick together. Queer couples outnumbering heterosexual penguins at the Cary Zoo is somewhat unique, however. Louise Overy, Ocean World's animal manager, told the Irish Mirror that lesbian penguins will mate with the males and then raise the chicks with their female partner. She said that in penguin mating rituals, they woo each other with stones, which the other partner uses to build a nest. It's far cheaper than diamond rings and flowers.
That's NewsWrap, global queer news with attitude for the week ending May 11th, 2019. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
NewsWrap is written by Greg Gordon and Lucia Chappelle, produced with Brian DeShazer, recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles, and brought to you by you.
Help keep us in ears around the world at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast and much more.
And now you can listen to NewsWrap each week by subscribing to our This Way Out radio YouTube channel. For This Way Out, I'm Michael LeBeau.
And I'm Wenzel Jones.
In late-breaking news from Havana, there's an update on Cuba's canceled conga against homophobia. About 100 activists defied the government's ban on the annual LGBTQ event and marched for about 8 blocks before they were stopped by security officials. Several arrests were made when some marchers refused to disperse. The unofficial march was promoted through social media. Some organizers reported that they received messages from the government warning them not to attend, while police prevented others from leaving home. The real reason for the government's ban on the 12-year-old event remains unclear. This Way Out will continue to track further developments. And now we go from the conga to the tango.
Penguin Parenting, coming up now on the Rainbow Minute. A few parents have objected to the book, And Tango Makes Three, because it depicts two penguins of the same sex caring for a penguin chick. Parents in Missouri had the book moved to the school library's nonfiction section. A Calvert County, Maryland parent wanted it removed from the children's section, saying the book's references to the penguins sleeping together was an obvious reference to sexual behavior. Some Shiloh, Illinois parents wanted it to be put in a restricted section, requiring parent permission prior to checking the book out. In Loudoun County, Virginia, the book was moved to the teacher's reference shelf. The true story of Roy and Shiloh only reinforces what scientists have observed since the time of Aristotle. Same-sex pairing has occurred in nature since recorded history. The Rainbow Minute is produced by Judd Proctor and Brian Burns and recorded in the studios at WRIR in Richmond, Virginia, and read by volunteers like me, Andrea Westcott.
Hi, this is Janice Ian, and you're listening to This Way Out. Support your local public radio station. You ain't gonna get this nowhere else.
Extra, extra, read all about it. Extra!
Have you checked our website lately?
For now playing information and behind-the-scenes news about your favorite international LGBT radio show, log on to thiswayout.org.
If your girlfriend knew about me and you not afraid anymore.
Circle the globe to meet young queer musicians later in the program. Gender political activist artist Sebastian Hernandez takes on preconceived stereotypes in the performance dance piece Hypanthium. One witness to the Los Angeles production's startling perspective was This Way Out's John Dyer V.
While sitting in the downtown L.A. Red Cat Auditorium, waiting for the dance program Hypanthium to begin, there is a buzz of excitement in the air. Looking around at the gathered audience, it seems as if a lot of them already know each other. Upon further observation, it appears that a majority of the audience consists of family and close friends of the show's creator-performer, Sebastian Hernandez. After learning about Hernandez's life and performance art creations, it is clear that the evening's show is a culmination to be celebrated, a great achievement to be witnessed by loved ones. An abstract, avant-garde short film precedes the dance. In a series of quick edits, we see Hernandez wearing a dark spaghetti strap top and rolled up pants, high heels, white satin evening gloves, with long, shiny purple tendrils hanging down from the head for many feet past the body, while walking, running, and interacting with the city, all on a downtown bridge in LA. There is a driving sense of urgency, disorientation, and bemusement throughout the piece.
My name is Sebastian Hernandez, and I'm a first-generation brown art maker birthed in the city of Los Angeles. I formally studied 2 years of modern dance technique at Berkeley, but most of my knowledge of movement really just came from watching my parents dance cumbia or mimicking movement in music videos.
The movement performance, Hypanthium, the word refers to the tubular structure of a flower that holds nectar, involves a trinity. Three dancers, besides Hernandez, Angel Acuna and Autumn Silas Randolph, are in near constant motion. They intersect and divide from each other like swirling blobs of oil, coagulating and separating. We see what appears to be a beautiful, shapely woman with long golden hair, Hernandez, interacting with first one, then another of two men. All three dancers wear different monochromatic, custom robe-like garments, which accentuate their often frenetic movements. There are dramatic solo moments for each dancer, which morphs into varying one-on-one interactions between two of the three performers, and then back to the trio of dancers exhibiting connection or conflict and everything else that lies between. Despite the abstract nature of the piece, it is clearly about relationships and their essentially non-stop changeability. One could glean myriad cultural references and socio-political commentary from the piece, or just as easily be hypnotized by the swirl of form, color, movement, and sound. Hernandez's work exhibits influences as varied as danza azteca, vogue, hip-hop, and multiple modern dance techniques. Themes explored in that work combine feminist theoretical analysis, indigenous Mexican heritage, queer theory, and concepts of collectivity. Quite a mix. Sebastian Hernandez identifies as gender non-binary, eschewing the traditional he and she pronouns. A multicolored ice bag sculpture hangs from the ceiling at the top of the show, and the high-tech yet somewhat minimalist staging of the piece utilizes digital video, wild strobes and intense color lighting, odd beeping, and heartbeat sound effects. Three quirky modern design straight-backed chairs are used to great effect, and the music ranges from more traditional dance music to Latin pop to funky and loud club-style beats. Hypanthium is a dance piece that is on a continuum, consistently evolving, just like we hopefully are. I applaud the bravery of Hernandez in challenging our underlying notions of gender, sexuality, and socialization. Red Cat is also to be lauded for welcoming and celebrating that which is truly of the now, and based on this performance, it is most exciting to watch out for what emerges next from today's multicultural mixing pot. For This Way Out, I'm John Dyer V.
You can find out more about Sebastian Hernandez's Hypanthium at lenguasmordidas.weebly.com.
Well, folks, we'll be back in a minute with more excitement right after this word.
Make them laugh, make them laugh. Don't you know everyone wants to laugh?
I'm Kate Clinton, and while I can joke about the political state of our country, an informed community is a strong community. That's why I'm inviting you to tune in to this station to hear This Way Out.
Fortunately, queer singer-songwriters are a renewable resource. This Way Out Music Focus correspondent Steve Sims takes us on a whirlwind world tour to gather the youthful energy of LGBTQ performers in the under 25 set.
Whoa.
Within the music world, as longtime favorites move into the golden years, younger artists take stage and capture our attention. Travel with me and meet some LGBT artists under 25. Welcome to Brazil. Gloria Groove is a singer, actor, and drag queen. Her persona is half drag, half rapper, and Groove's compositions vary from soul, trap, R&B, and Brazilian funk. She says her career is a way to use my own voice to point out what's wrong in Brazil. Also from Brazil is Pablo Vittar, a drag queen, singer, and songwriter. Vittar is widely considered a positive representation of homosexuality and gender fluidity, and a voice for Brazil's LGBT community. In Canada, we have Lowell, a singer and songwriter originally from Calgary, who moved to Toronto to study music at the University of Toronto. Lowell is known for the song Ride, which features Iconopop and is heard in the 2016 film Nerve. Meet Sarah, a Danish singer who gained worldwide attention mainly because she came out as lesbian at age 15. LGBT media congratulated her as the first lesbian to win any version of the X Factor in the world. Danish media prefers to focus on her singing skills. She married her girlfriend in December 2014. Finland is home to Tuur Boyes, a YouTuber, singer, and actor. His first single was released in August 2017. Tuur has appeared in several plays and was chosen as Homosexual of the Year by QX Gay Gala in 2017. He came out in a YouTube video in November 2016. This is Talking Late, the second single from Nick Eddowes, a rising indie pop artist from Peru. He started to write music at age 16, and in 2017 he released his debut single, Son of a Gun. Both songs are part of an upcoming album written in New York State while Nick was working in an exchange program.
Moment when my body feels strange and I'm getting depressed.
Portuguese electronic music artist Lizzie's husband, who is transgender, combines various genres of electronica, especially industrial electronica and dance pop music. In a 2017 interview, he revealed that music was the key factor that helped him in coming out as transgender.
Hey!
Noise in my mind.
Troye Sivan is a singer, songwriter, actor, and YouTuber born in Johannesburg, South Africa. His family moved to Australia when he was 2 years old. He came out as gay via YouTube in August 2013. His baritone voice has received widespread praise. South Korean Holland made his debut in January 2018 with the release of the single Neverland. It accumulated an astounding 1 million views in the first 20 hours. He says his music is influenced by his experiences of being bullied in middle school. Swedish bisexual internet personality and musician Victor Frisk rose to prominence as a fashion blogger and model and subsequently became one half of the popular Samir and Victor music duo. Success, his debut single with Samir and Victor, went double platinum and peaked at number 3 on the Swedish music chart.
To
Also from Sweden is Oscar Zia, a singer and songwriter who's participated in several television competition shows. He first appeared in 2012 on the Swedish X Factor. He made it to the final 12 and finished 8th overall. In February 2016, Zia came out as gay.
I'm guessing that I've grown horns. I guess I'm human.
English singer, songwriter, author, and YouTuber Dodie is known for her piano and ukulele covers. She came out as bisexual in 2016. In January 2019, she released her third album, which rose to number 5 on the UK album charts.
If your girlfriend knew about me and you.
England is also home to MNEK, a singer, songwriter, and record producer. He has been nominated for a Grammy, and he received the ASCAP Vanguard Award. MNEK, who is openly gay, has worked with Christina Aguilera, Beyonce, Madonna, Kylie Minogue, and Years and Years.
Keep this on the low. I'm the reason she's wondering why you're never home.
Found you when your heart was broke. I filled your cup until it...
The last three artists are from the United States. Halsey is a singer and songwriter diagnosed bipolar at 17. She says singing and performing has helped her manage the symptoms. In 2018, she revealed her struggles with endometriosis.
And then I got you off your knees, put you right back on your feet, just so you can take advantage of me.
I won't have this much time to waste when I'm older.
Singer-songwriter Bryce O'Connor has performed in theater, written and directed a short film, and even spoke at TEDx Carson City. His first single was Offbeat, and recently he released his second, Wasted Summer. Multi-talented Ryan Quesada composed the soundtrack for the short film Loop Planes, and is the main subject of the Danish-produced documentary Songs for Alexis. Ryan, who is transgender, released the song Daughter in 2018. The music video for Daughter just won the award for Best Music Short at the 2019 New Renaissance Film Festival in Amsterdam. For This Way Out, I'm Steve Sims.
You'll find the playlist for This Way Out Music Focus at thiswayout.org. Thanks for tuning in to This Way Out, brought to you by the nonprofit Overnight Productions. Some program material this week came from Michael LeBeau and Wenzel Jones, produced with Brian DeShazer. Feature material came from Andrea Westcott, produced by Jed Proctor and Brian Burns, from John Dyer V, and from Steve Sims. Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, the Ivana Foundation, the estate of Christopher David Trentum, Richard Merck and Brad Payton of Silicon Valley, and all of the listener donors who make this program possible. Look for This Way Out Radio on social media, email tworadio@aol.com, or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For coordinating producer Greg Gordon and everyone at This Way Out, I'm Lucia Chappell. Thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org and on 2MIA, Griffith, New South Wales, WOZOLP, Knoxville, Tennessee, Radio Phoenix, Phoenix, Arizona, and some 200 stations and other outlets around the world, including this one. Now y'all stay tuned.